You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Amanda Munoz de Toro is the Executive Director of Phoenix Humanitarian Legal Aid, an NGO based in Lesbos, Greece. This is the main point of entry for people crossing the Mediterranean Sea to get to Turkey. 800 people arrived just in the month of March. Phoenix Aid provides legal protection and information services to asylum seekers who live in Lesbos, mainly in the camp of Moria. Legal services are general information, legal questions, family reunification from Greece to other European countries, interview preparation for the asylum interview and appeal support if they are rejected, and guardian procedures. Protection is more of a comprehensive approach to legal aid, complementing the legal team where they create a wellbeing action plan for clients that includes referrals to psychological, psychiatrist, medical and accommodation services. This plan is designed to improve the client's well-being while they prepare for their asylum interviews. At this moment in time, Greece has suspended the application process for seeking asylum, meaning people are not able to register for asylum. Those that have arrived in the last month are stranded on the beaches or kept in a court in Lesbos. They aren't able to access any services or support and they can't go to the camp. Currently, the situation on the island is incredibly precarious. I spoke to Amanda to find out more about what's happening and started by asking her what the normal process would be for people applying for asylum.
So the process of seeking asylum, the first step is people arrive to the island. Initially, when there was no restrictions for the application of asylum, people will arrive. They will be picked up by the police and transferred to Moria Refugee Camp. In Moria Refugee Camp, they're registered by the police. This is the registration of their will to apply for asylum. After the registration with the police, they're supposed to go to the Greek Asylum Service for the registration of their asylum claim in that office. After they register, they're given an international asylum applicant card, and this card has the date of interview and the date of when they have to renew this card. Until the 1st of January, process were months long. There were people that were stuck for 2 years in the refugee camp. People would arrive and their interview would be 6 months, 9 months, 1 year later. On the 1st of January, the law changed, and even though the procedure is shorter, it is for the worse because people arrive, they're registered some hours after getting off from the boat, and then 1 week later they have their interview. And this sole interview is the one that defines the fate of their lives, right? If they will be given asylum or they'll be deported back to a country where their life is in danger. And given the lack or the insufficient amount of lawyers on the island, having 1 week to prepare for the interview, to gather evidence, to be, have a bit more stability from the moment they got off the boat, it's not enough time. And for us as lawyers, 1 week to prepare a client and gather evidence is insufficient.
What sort of evidence do you mean in terms of what they have to present at their interview?
The asylum claim is based on a fear for their integrity, for their life, for their family safety. So what we do is we gather evidence to support this claim. So if someone suffered sexual abuse, there will be different things that we can present. If someone is a survivor of torture, there are certificates that can be provided by medical actors. If someone was threatened, if someone suffered a bombing, then maybe they have pictures.
So when that law changed, why did that law change come in?
So there was a change in government last year to a more right-wing government, and this law is a clear restriction of people's rights.
So when COVID-19, I suppose, started to spread through Europe, has this kind of concern reached where you are at this point?
The Greek authorities have enacted measures to prevent the spread of the disease in all of Greece, and there are specific measures for the refugee camps. Obviously, the measures that are for the Greek population don't apply for refugees because they're cramped into these camps. They're sleeping in tents, they're sleeping in rub holes with blankets to divide hundreds of people. They have to queue for hours in the food line or for the doctor, so obviously the self-isolation cannot happen. There is one tap of water every 1,000 people, so they cannot wash their hands. And one of the measures is that asylum seekers can only leave the camp if they have to go for essential needs, so to the doctor, to the pharmacy, or for food. And that means that they spend more hours in these overcrowded camps. There are some measures that are being taken, but the truth is that at this point it's too late, and if there's an outbreak, the consequences will be terrible.
And in terms of the people that still remain on the island, you're saying they were in their thousands, they are all living in these cramped conditions.
There's 21,000 people in Lesbos. I would say something around 20,000 people are in Moria. The official numbers are a bit lower, but the NGO numbers are around the 20,000 people.
20,000?
And when I say 20,000 people living in Moria, we include people with disabilities, so people in wheelchairs, people with serious illnesses like cancer, Parkinson's, diabetes, and people with respiratory issues, which are high risk for coronavirus, pregnant women, unaccompanied children. They're all living in Moria camp.
And you said one tap between 1,000 people.
Yes, and this is when there's water, because there's some moments of the day or a couple of days per week where the water is not working. And then there's areas of the camp where there's no tap.
So legally, in terms of there being, on any given day, this seems inhumane.
Yes.
With the threat of a global pandemic, what's the kind of legal implications of a group of people not being able to just wash their hands?
So there is a European directive on reception conditions that Greece is supposed to abide by, but Greece alleges that they don't have the economic and financial means to respond in any other way. So there are many, many open letters to the European Parliament and the European Commission asking for the relocation of the vulnerable people in Moria. There has been some answers from some European member states saying that they are willing to take people in. But unfortunately, with the coronavirus outbreak, many of these efforts have been suspended.
So in terms of that suspension, you did mention that there were groups of people being moved away to detention camps. This doesn't actually, halt the risk of an outbreak, right? It would just move that outbreak to a detention camp.
There are movements inside of Greece. So UNHCR and the camp management of Moria are moving people to private accommodation on the island and in the mainland, but there's no movement in between countries.
How many other people are working with you in terms of Phoenix Aid?
So normally in Phoenix we're 25 remote volunteers and 25 people in the field. With the corona outbreak, we kept a core team in Lesbos, a team of 9. And the rest of the team have evacuated and are working remotely.
Right, and so that was a measure in terms of protecting the team?
Yes, so we want to avoid the spreading of the virus to the refugee camp. So we want that the people that are going to the camp is a minimum core and also expert team.
So in terms of people in the camp, how are they feeling at this point?
So people are being quite responsible and peaceful for the type of measures that have been imposed on them. They have started producing their own masks. There are many NGOs that are distributing soap to support, and there's some efforts to build isolation areas. But to be honest, when there's an outbreak, it will spread like fire because there's so many people and there's too little space. But at the same time, there has been tensions with all these measures. We don't know if they're because of these measures or for other reasons, but on Monday night there were fights between different ethnicities and the same on Tuesday morning.
When you say once there is an outbreak it'll spread like fire, is there any possibility that people will be able to access proper, I guess, healthcare or medical supplies?
The hospital here in Mytilini, the capital of Lesbos, has 5 ICUs. If I'm not mistaken. So at the moment, there's already 8 cases in Lesbos. If any of those cases need hospitalization, that means that there will be no space in the hospital.
And there are no moves being done to change that?
No. So at the moment, there is a plan of the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Migration to create a central triage next to Moria, but that central triage will be to detect suspected cases of COVID-19, but not to hospitalize the person.
How do you feel at the moment?
So at the moment, we're doing the best we can. We're monitoring the human rights situation. We are providing protection teams inside Moria to make sure that if there's any violation of human rights, there's any violation of protection standards, people have someone to reach out to, because there's very little presence in the camp from NGOs right now. But from the COVID-19 point of view, there's not much we can do. We're not medical actors, and we have to see and wait what will happen.
What do you think, or how are you feeling about after the fact, in terms of you know, whether certain measures, perhaps by the Greek government or whoever it might be, will they be relaxed at some point?
The measure, you mean the restriction measures to asylum seekers?
Yeah.
No, I think on the contrary, they will be further imposed. So right now, if you walk around Lesbos, there's a lot of people on the street. I expect this to get stricter with an increase in the amount of cases detected.
I was speaking with another NGO who sort of mentioned that it might, the pandemic, I suppose, has become an opportunity for governments to kind of shut down, whether this be close to Greece or even throughout the world, right? So shutting down and also kind of turning their backs on any refugees. Is that, do you think that that's the case?
So the measures that have been implemented in Moria have the aim of trying to isolate the refugee community from the local population in Lesbos that are the ones that have been infected with COVID-19. But the truth is, if there is a case of COVID-19 in the camp, trapping people in the camp has the contrary effect, right? So if someone has it in the camp and people are cramped and have nowhere else to go, then the virus will spread faster. And then there's measures that have been taken. For example, there was an announcement of the government that the measures on the camps will be extended until the 31st of May. This is an announcement that was done only in relation to refugee camps and not in relation to the local population. So why have the measures in relation to refugee camps been imposed and informed already, but there is no guidelines of what will happen to the rest of the local population? So like this restriction of movements have for now been announced for the next 2 months for refugees. For locals, maybe the same standards don't apply. We don't know yet. Logic would say that if refugees are not allowed to move, then also Greeks should not be allowed to move either, because if not, then the virus will still get to refugee camps.
In terms of the sort of freedom of movement of refugees, that has been limited forever, even before a pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, they already have a restriction of movement to the island, because everyone that arrives here is under border, under the border procedure, so they cannot leave the island until some steps have been taken in the procedure. So they already have that restriction, and now they have the further restriction to the camp. There were plans to build detention centers on the island, so we'll have to see if these measures of restriction of movement are the beginning or something, or if the Greek government surprises us and then as soon as COVID is over, they lift the restriction and things go to the previous situation.
Would you agree that people in refugee camps, particularly in Greece or between the Greek and Turkish border at the moment, are caught between a sort of political game between governments?
Well, yes. I mean, this has been happening since the European-Turkey deal has been enacted, right? So when Turkey controls the border, then there's less of an influx to Greek islands. And as soon as Turkey wants to create some pressure on the European Union, then we have a flood of new arrivals to the Greek islands. Mm. And then Greece has to respond according to what is the political mood at that point in time.
And so in terms of the responsibility between, I guess, Turkey and the EU on at least caring for these people or responding to these people, is anything happening there?
Well, all the open letters of all the organizations have been to the EU to relocate people and to respect the pacts that they have made to receive vulnerable people from the refugee camps in Greece. And that's where the pressure is being put. Some countries have responded, some others haven't, and now everything is stalled by COVID-19. So, yeah, from the EU, there is nothing being done. It is the Greek government that is trying to provide some type of medical response in the camps, but it's absolutely insufficient. I mean, it's too late. They allowed the camps to be overcrowded, and at this point in time, there is no real way to avoid the spreading in the camp.
Perhaps speaking to an international audience or to New Zealand, what is it that you would say, I guess, in terms of getting people to think about this or what they could do from an international perspective?
So from an international perspective, it's putting pressure on each government's country to take on asylum seekers. And for support, there's many things that can be done. So raising awareness, sharing information about what's happening, supporting NGOs that are on the ground financially, and also volunteering. About supporting financially, there's many NGOs that are on the ground right now that are doing essential work, which is not related to medical, but has a very big impact on how the outbreak is responded to, and with a lot of grants being oriented towards the medical response, there's many other essential services that are being left behind.
Following my interview with Amanda, I came across an Instagram video BBC News had uploaded with footage from the camp asking the same question: how do you avoid coronavirus in a refugee camp?
Wash your hands, we're being told. Keep surfaces clean. Use hand sanitizer. Stay 2 meters away from each other. But how do you stop coronavirus in a refugee camp? Refugee and migrant camps are a ticking time bomb for a coronavirus outbreak, and very few of them more so than Moria in Lesbos in Greece, where 18,000 people are living in a facility that was built for 3,000. We can't travel to Moria. Greece has a quarantine in place for visitors, and we don't want to risk bringing the virus there. But a group of young filmmakers have sent us this footage.
Here are some water taps. There's no water inside it. There's no water.
Yasser is 18. He's been here for 5 months.
And here, and the trashers are right next to them, so it's disgusting. There is few hours that people have access to water, and at that time, it's overcrowded, and there's so many line queues to use the water, and there's also some other toilets, same as the previous ones, are not as usable, and people have no good access to doctor because about the crowding, and they have no access to gloves, masks to prevent themselves from virus corona, and
while the rest of Europe is being told to stay home, people here have to crowd around a truck to get a limited supply of drinking water every day. They have to queue for food. And like everywhere else in Europe, the shops in the island of Lesbos are running out of soap and cleaning products. That shortage will hit the camp hard.
And this is the shower of the men. And as you can see, it's really, really dirty. It's waiting in the line queues for taking a shower. And here is dirty, same as the shower.
A small group of people living here are doing whatever they can to try to prepare for an outbreak. Dean Mohammed is a pharmacist from Afghanistan. The WHO says cotton masks aren't very effective, but at least it's something.
So this is our factory, and these are our volunteers. Hello, guys.
That last part of the video showed a makeshift factory where volunteers were making cotton masks. Thank you.
the music. I love the music. The music is me. The music is you. The music can be something we do. The music is good and music is right. And music can stand strong right through the night. And music can hold you. Music can keep you safe from harm and her beautiful arms. Music is you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.